God? What a weird sounding question that is. What a weird sounding statement. Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me, God says. Robbing God. That's a difficult one to get your head around, isn't it? The idea of robbing God, as if you could rob God? I mean, we read these things and we hear them, but come on, think about it with me. This is the creator of the universe speaking here. This is God Almighty. You know, God Almighty, powerful, omnipotent, all-powerful God, creator. The one who spoke, and out of nothing came everything. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who led the Israelites through the wilderness. The one who delivered the slaves out of captivity. The one who then comes in flesh and dies for us. This Creator God says, you have robbed me. That sounds so weird, doesn't it? Robbing God. How do we rob God? Malachi tells us, in your tithes and offerings. Tithes, that's plural, by the way. Tithes and offerings. Plural, tithes and offerings. You haven't participated in the life of the community of God. You haven't participated in your time, your talents, your gifts, your service, your prayers, your presence. You have failed to give of your tithes and offerings. And usually we hear that and it just goes whoosh, right over our heads. What's a tithe? In the Hebrew Bible, a tithe, the word for tithe, is asar. And ah, there's ah, and then there's ah. It's like somebody hits you in the stomach. Ah! Asar. And what it means is a tenth. I want the back row over here. You guys, stand up. Come on, stand up. I'm drafting you for service. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Up. 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We got 10 people standing here. All right? 10 people. A tithe of these 10 is just one. Nathan, sit down. That's a tithe. One tenth. That's a tithe. Okay, thank you. They need a hand. A tithe. Now, Nathan, stand up on your own. He was the tithe. He was the 10% of the group that was standing. The asar of that group. The tenth. The tithe. Let me set that down now. Now, that may seem like one-tenth, you know, one-tenth of a dollar, a dime, one-tenth of $100 is $10, one-tenth of $1,000 is $100. Now you're getting into money. And when it starts to build up there, it starts to become real money, doesn't it? But it's still just a tenth. An asar. A tithe. And Scripture established the tithe. Now, some people say, well, the tithe, now, Greg, you're talking about tithe, and that's Old Testament, that's law. It's Old Testament, but it's not law. It predates the law. Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek in Genesis, long before the law. And the New Testament tells us that the tithe is actually an act of faith. An act of faith and thanksgiving for what we have received. an act of faith and thanksgiving, recognizing that all that we have and all that we are comes from God who created us, and therefore we are called to return to God a portion of what we have received. Fundamentally, we're called to return to God all that we have and are, and then God gives us 90% with which to live. Last time I looked, the IRS took a whole lot more than 10% of my paycheck. And they're not too happy about it if you don't fork it over. And here, we hear God saying, "You have robbed me in your tithes and offerings." How has that robbed God? Very end of the passage, which is usually where people want to go for different reasons, I want to go to today. "See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." When we rob God by not participating in the family of faith, by not participating with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, by not participating with all that we have and are, giving a portion of it to God, when we fail to be a part of the family of faith, we rob God, because God then does not pour out abundant blessing, overflowing blessing for us. When we rob God, we rob ourselves. Think about it. Being in the family of faith, participating in worship, participating when we have our potluck dinners and lunches and breakfast and potluck everything, frankly. When you're not here, you're robbed, aren't you? If you miss the Thanksgiving dinner service, the love feast, you've missed, haven't you? When you miss fellowship time and friend time and service time and Bible study time and Sunday school class time and worship time, you've missed the friendship and camaraderie of your sisters and brothers in the family of faith. You've missed, you've robbed yourself of the overflowing blessing that God so desperately wants to give. But we can only receive when we give of ourselves. When one is truly a member of the family of faith, one doesn't feel like it's an obligation to give. It should be a joy to give, a joy to be here, a joy to give of our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. A joy to join the human conveyor belt out there, passing pumpkins from one to the next. A joy to serve cleaning the building, a joy to serve giving food to the hungry, a joy to serve building a house, a joy to serve the last, the least, the lost, the children, the seniors of our community. When we fail to participate, we are failing to live up to the calling that God has for us as the family of faith. And in doing so, we rob ourselves by robbing God of the opportunity to give back to us. As members of the family of faith, the calling to give is principal in importance in everything that we do, to give of ourselves, because we have received, because God gave of God's self in Jesus Christ our Lord, because God gave of God's self in the creation, in the Holy Word of God, in the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. God is a giving God. We are called to be like Christ Jesus in giving ourselves for others, in giving of all that we have and are. In the early church, they took that literally. Give all of yourself to Jesus. They took it literally, and they gave all that they had. They would sell their possessions and give it to the apostles. They had a house, they sold the house, they gave it to the apostles. They held a piece of land, they sold a piece of land, they gave it to the apostles. They went overboard in giving. So much so that the tithe becomes a break, a limit on our giving. You know, there's more than one tithe in Scripture. There's the pre-law first tithe, first 10%. There's a second tithe within the law that was established to guide and help the people to set aside funds for their annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem. It's called the second tithe. That tithe was designed to help people perform their religious duties, go to the temple, make sacrifices at the temple, attend the Passover seders, and to fund their religious life. It's in addition to the first tithe. All right? So there's actually two tithes in Scripture. The tithe we're looking at today is that 10% that we are called to give simply because we are God's children. Simply because we are called to participate in the life of the church. Not as an obligation, but as a limit on giving it all. My sisters and my brothers, how has your life of giving reflected the calling of God? Have you been robbing God and hence robbing yourself through your tithes and your offerings? Have you been a little remiss in attendance, in worship, in prayer for your sisters and brothers, in giving of your financial resources and of your service? God wants more than just 10% of your money. God calls you to serve, to act, to be present, to pray, and to help others. All of that is part of tithing, my friends. All of that is part of making offerings beyond the tithe. Offerings for designated ministries, specific functions, like elation. The calling to serve and proclaim the gospel through song. It's a powerful calling in the life of this church. We're called to support that through our offerings. My sisters and brothers, and I ask myself this very question, have we been a bit lazy? Have we been robbing God of our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service? Have we been robbing God of our tithes and offerings, our tithes of our time, our tithes of our service, our tithes of our money, our offerings? If we have been, then we have an opportunity today, as always, to, I want to use a term you don't hear very often in good old progressive Methodist churches, repent. Remember that word? I explained it just a few weeks ago. To pent means to turn around. You're going one direction, you repent, you turn around and go the other one. You make a change. You don't have to beat on yourself. You don't have to feel bad. You simply repent. Change your direction. Change what you're doing. And start doing what God calls you to do. We're called to give of ourselves to others. We're called to give of ourselves as Christ gave himself for us. We're called to give of ourselves as God has given God's self to us. We're called to give of ourselves so that others might see and know and hear and receive the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ welcomes all. Have we been robbing God? Have we been robbing ourselves? Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. And in the silence of your hearts, if you hear God saying, "You have been robbing me," then simply change.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.